The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand.
See Live Off the Record with Shvagel and is brought to you by Burger King, the Cleveland Clinic, Grand Bahama News, RF Bank and Trust, Royal Star Assurance, and the Water and Sewage Corporation.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shvagel Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. I trust and hope that you are doing well. If you want to give us a call today, the numbers are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. So you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We are live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow Channel 612. That's BTC Flow Channel 612. Well, so want to talk about a couple of things today. I noted that Mr. Halkidis, the Honorable Minister of Economic Affairs, had a response to Mr. Pintard's assertion that the government was in a cash crunch. Mr. Halkidis, Senator Halkidis, indicated that, and in quote, "I think it's just another case of the opposition trying to preach doom and gloom on the economy of the Bahamas. I think it's just another case of the opposition trying to preach doom and gloom on the economy of the Bahamas." Okay. But the minister went on to indicate that the government, that the assertion is false, that the government is facing no cash crunch, and that we're paying our obligations, he indicated. He says having payables is not unusual for the government. Paying contractors who are owed large sums on a schedule is not unusual for the government. "We're not broke, we're not cash strapped," said the minister. He says, in quote, "At any point in time, the government will have a level of payables which we pay off as quickly as we can. As soon as we get verification of payments and services rendered, that's normal course of business. Government will never have zero payables, but you know, I would use the term cash strapped out of, I wouldn't use the term cash strapped at all. We're paying our obligations." So everything that Minister Halkidis said is correct about the government standardly having payables. That's not unusual. A huge organization like the government is always going to have payables, not an issue. He indicated that the government paying large sums of money on schedule to contractors is not unusual. That too is true. That is absolutely true. The truth, though, is let's look at it, examine it. Let's look at it, though. If you have to pay a contractor who did work for you and is finished with their work and you sign the contract for the payment, unless you have in the contract, okay, listen to me now, unless you have in the contract we will get paid on a schedule. The intent is, when I'm finished doing the work, you pay me. That's how it works, unless we have agreed a schedule. Typically, that is not the case. Typically what happens is there is a schedule of payment that could be a schedule of payments in the contract based on mobilization and then completion of one phase or something like that, the next thing, right? But generally speaking, when you're done with a contract, you pay people. You pay people what you owe them. The fact that you have to pay somebody on schedule means that I don't have all the cash to pay you because I have to make other payments. Well, if I don't have all the cash to pay you, doesn't that mean I'm in a cash scenario, right? That says you could, like, neither Mr. Pintad or Mr. Halkidis define what they mean by cash crunch. And this is always where people get in challenges, right? Because we can be talking, we can be using the same words, but we can apply different definitions or concepts to those word usage. So what does Mr. Pintad mean by cash crunch? What does Mr. Halkidis mean by cash crunch? By definition, if you have to pay people on schedule who you owe, it means that your cash situation is not ideal. It means you don't have the cash to pay them as they would like to be paid, as you ought to have paid them, right? The fact that it's not just a question of government having payables. Government will always have payables. The truth of the matter is, government has payables that are mounting because they don't have the cash to make those payments. These vendors are out there wanting their money. And they're not, this isn't as if, in most instances, the government isn't in a situation where it says, okay, when we've signed a contract with you for services or for goods, when you submit that when you complete your obligation, we will pay you in 30 days, right? Or no, sorry, we will pay you over 6 months, over a year. That's normally not what happens. People sign contracts and expect to be paid. If you are out there and you're a contractor for the government, you call me and tell me it isn't ordinarily the case that you expect that once you've done what you've done, the government will pay you, even if maybe if a supply of goods that there's a 30 or services, there's a 30-day period, maybe that might last before you expect to get paid. But nobody is expecting the government to come back and say, okay, well, I owe you $500,000. I'm going to pay you $250,000 a day, and then $100,000 later, 3 months from now. So that's not what people sign up for generally in the government. And I ain't asking nobody. That's typically not how it works. The fact that the government has these mounting payables, and they are payables that go back to the government. What you call that process now, where the government takes your property for a public purpose, invoking eminent domain, and then have to pay you, or the government buys some property from people and then have to pay you. Well, these things are mounting to BBL and all that kind of stuff. Not because the government has a schedule of payment that it has essentially set up. The government don't have the cash. And if you set up, you do it because you don't have the cash. Well, if you don't have the cash to make your payments, what does that mean? What is the term you would apply to that? Mr. Pinta says it's cash crunch. Mr. Halkidis says, I wouldn't call it a cash strapped. We're not broke. The government certainly isn't broke. We know that. The government isn't broke. You can't be broke if you're flying and traveling. You can't be broke if you're still contracting people to build stadiums of $10 million. You can't be broke. But cash challenges is a different story. So when I listened to Minister Halkidis's statement, everything about it said, yes, the government's cash situation is strained. That's what it means. That's what scheduling out means. You budget out things, right? So if a budget is planned spending, you can even budget planned deficit. So that's understandable. But on the cash side of life, these vendors are out there complaining, The vendors out there complaining that if I were only dealing with something that I knew Second hand, that might be a different story. But vendors out there complaining, they won't get paid. Why would they want to get paid if you already told them that you pay them on schedule? Then these are not the big, big vendors. It's because this is not it's not unusual. Now, it is not unusual, but is there a different kind of scenario today? But it is not unusual for the Treasury and those to be trying to manage the cash flow in such a way and say, okay, well, let's take care of these priority items first, and then we take care of these items next, and then these items next, which puts people on a backlog of payments. So no matter how we try to clean it up, no matter how we try to say it, I'm talking to you, the public of the Bahamas, so that you would know. It is not unusual for the government to have a cash stream. Now, it can be that the cash stream today or some other time was extraordinary. I can tell you, during the Great Recession, the cash stream was extraordinary, but we solved that by doing extraordinary borrowing to get cash, right? But there's no scenario that the government can paint, past or present, that doesn't say, yeah, the cash situation of the government is not ideal. It is not ideal, because if it was ideal, vendors would get paid in a more timely way, and they would get paid in accordance with the contractual obligations that they signed, not some extraordinary scheduling of payment. All right? So, again, it for me, it's neither here nor there, because when the crisis, if a crisis came, you would surely know. Now, tied to all of this are some comments made by Standard & Poor's, which is one of the international credit rating agencies. These international credit rating agencies are bodies that investors like who? People who lend to governments, like wholesale banks that facilitate loans to governments and big corporations, sophisticated investors who are large investors who might make wholesale purchases of something, investments and stuff like that. These people look to these entities to give them an assessment of a company or a country's worthiness to borrow from them. Because these individuals and institutions are not going to spend all the time and the money, or are able to spend all that time and money going through all the interviews and the examination of data and the analyses of country reports and the like to assess and the development of models that can reflect a country's credit worthiness. No, they're not going to do that, but they need the information to be able to make good lending decisions. So these credit agencies step in the middle, do that kind of work, and say, you know what, we have done the rigorous work necessary to look at this country, the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, and we can tell you if you lend to them today, chances are you'll be paid back. And this is the level of risk associated with them paying you back. And that's what the ratings mean. That's what the AAA, AAA plus or so means, that we're saying to you that these people are good risk at this point, that point, that point, but that when they get down there, no. You they're not good risk. And so therefore you have to price your lending to them in accordance with that risk. So they did an assessment of the Bahamas recently, not a credit one, not to impact on your credit worthiness or your credit rating, but they did make some comments about the Bahamas that I think that you may want to take into consideration. And so when we come back from the break, we talk about what Standard & Poor's say about the Bahamas. We'll be back after this break. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Chicago Lang, your host. Not afraid to take a stand, take a stand.
Being an investor has its benefits, like the margin loan facility at RF. I can use my government bonds, company shares, and other investments to access cash when I need it, at a low interest rate of 7.5%, flexible repayment terms, and a 48-hour approval time. I can easily get the cash I need for travel, home renovation, or to purchase additional shares. This is just one of the ways RF keeps my money working for me. Learn more about the RF margin loan at rfgroup.com.
The Water and Sewage Corporation wishes to advise the public, its customers, and the residents of Unison Subdivision off Carmichael Road, inclusive of side corners, that there may be an interruption to their water supplies between the hours of 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. on September 20th, 2023, for a total of 2 weeks to perform improvement works in Unison Subdivision. During this period, there may also be road closures and detour around the work areas. Motorists are asked to avoid this area between the hours of 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. The corporation apologizes for any inconvenience this may cause and appreciates your support as they work to improve their level of service.
Burger King wants you to enjoy a classic sandwich so good we've been making it since 1979. Introducing the original chicken sandwich, American style, with fries and a drink for only $7.95, including VAT. This sandwich is made with white meat chicken, lightly breaded and topped with crisp, fresh lettuce, creamy mayonnaise, tomatoes, and lots of American cheese on a long sesame seed bun. Get your American original chicken sandwich for only $7.95, including VAT, at Burger King NASA, where taste is king.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabab Olang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316. Or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. So Standard & Poor's says that the Bahamas has had a very strong recovery following upon the COVID-19 pandemic, and this recovery was driven by strong tourism flows, and that strong tourism flows was related to the fact that the Bahamas was so close to the United States of America, and given all that pent-up demand in America to travel and vacation after being closed in for so long. Many people were reluctant to travel far and therefore chose to travel near, and the Bahamas greatly benefited from that. That recovery began in 2021, continued in 2022. And now they're saying, Standard & Poor's, that it expects the Bahamas to return to historic trends of economic growth around 1.8% by 2024. Now, just to be clear, That is no news for us. That's no news for me. I've told you all that before many times on the show. I told you that the Bahamian economy had had extraordinary growth, reflecting really your growth from having been turned down so severely. But that by 2024, I, Shivago Lang, said we would return to our historic levels of growth, which was around 2% or below. No shock to me. Why could I say such a thing? Because the only way for the Bahamas to have growth better than before the pandemic is to have circumstances better than before the pandemic. Investment-related circumstances. Does it? It certainly does not. There is nothing taking place in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas that could lead us to believe that we will have appreciably better economic times following upon the pandemic's fullest impact than we had before it took place. Only way that could happen is we would have to have extraordinary levels of foreign direct investment taking place in the Bahamas, and that simply is not happening yet. Not yet. It may happen, but there's nothing to indicate that yet. You said, but Mr. Cooper said there was $6 billion worth of investments approved. Fine. But unless we can see evidence of those things actually on the ground, it's hard for me to build that into any economic model forecasting for the future. I cannot. I would not do so. And apparently, neither is Standard & Poor's. Okay? Standard & Poor's is believing, yeah, you're going to continue to grow, but you're going to grow much slower than you grew in the last couple of years. And the level you're going to grow at is what you used to grow at prior to the pandemic. I agree with them 100%. So does the IDB, so does the IMF, right? Because there's nothing that you could put into an economic forecast model in this country that would suggest we should have growth higher or better than those. Not yet. If something changes, I'll certainly let you know. So nothing Standard & Poor's has said to us is news, is new news. Let's put it like that. It's new information. And what they are additionally saying is that the return to these lower levels of historic growth, combined with structural vulnerabilities inherent in the Bahamian economy, structural vulnerabilities, and there are structural vulnerabilities inherent in the Bahamian economy, that given that the Bahamas' credit ratings can be impacted by that going forward. That those things will weigh on the Bahamas' credit ratings. Understood. And this, again, is not news. When the government of the Bahamas asked us at the Government of Public Policy Institute to do a study of the level of growth and recovery necessary to lift the Bahamas out of its economic circumstances and fiscal circumstances, we pointed to these structural vulnerabilities in the Bahamian economy. We pointed to the fact that total factor productivity in this country, which is impacted by training and education and this, in the Bahamas, needed to be improved. We pointed that out. We pointed out that the Bahamas needed to look to invest in industries beyond its tourism sector and invest in certain ways within its tourism sector. We indicated that. We indicated that the Bahamas needed to look at doing something that could improve the cost of energy in the country. These are structural vulnerabilities inherent existing in the Bahamian economy right now that weighs on the country's ability to grow more significantly. We attached scenarios to those circumstances that could lend to better growth, better employment outcomes, better equity in income distribution, and all these kinds of things. We did that. right here in the country. We did that. Standard & Poor's is not saying anything new to us. There's been nothing done in those directions to move the economy away from those vulnerabilities. And so therefore, they continue to weigh on the country's ability to rev up its economic growth. And therefore, we'll continue to have unemployment lag. So even while there was and could be a celebration of the reduction in unemployment, it really is more of a Pyrrhic victory. Why? Because it's taking you back to the levels of unemployment that were existing in the pre-pandemic, when the economy wasn't hit by the structural, by the extraordinary challenges of the pandemic. So it was at that 9% or 10% unemployment then. And yes, it may be an unemployment level lower than 15 years ago, but what celebration is that in light of the fact that there isn't yet now the possibilities for doing for the economy things that can take us to levels of unemployment that are acceptable? You said, but what level of employment is acceptable? There is a level of employment that's acceptable because an economy needs to have some flexibility. So the labor market has to have the ability for people to leave one place and go to another place. So there's always going to be some level of unemployment in the economy that allows it to be able to adjust itself and adapt itself to changing circumstances. And you want that. You never want an economy where there's no unemployment. Because if you have no unemployment, all that means is that you're going to drive up the price of wages, and that could have other impacts for the economy and the society. You always want some level of flexibility. And so, you know, we look at that in most economies. So that some economies, depending on the nature of it, they say that's around 3 or 4%, you know. So Standard & Poor's is giving us no new news. Anyone who's an observer, a student of the Bahamian economy could easily have given that commentary. And in fact, some of us have already done so. We don't make the news doing so, but the fact is we've said so. We know so, because this is the nature of an economy that we understand and know very well. So what the document presents, what the analysis presents for us, is the continuing challenge of a Bahamian economy in need of a boost that is able to bring elevated levels of enthusiasm, hope, and inspiration to its population. That's our challenge. That's not a challenge to be read as the PLP fault or the FNF fault or nobody. That's the challenge we face in the country. And yes, those who are in power have to do their part in leading the way in addressing that challenge. But that's a challenge that has many faces, many facets to it, from the personal productivity and professional development of its citizens and workers, to the innovative and creative capacity of its entrepreneurs, to the efficiencies and proficiencies of its regulators, to the insightfulness, leadership, and effectiveness of its policymakers. All of those things are components and elements of trying to get this economy to the place where we need it to get. And so if you look at the next 3 years of the country, unless something changes of any significance, we'll have that, thankfully, positive growth in the economy, but not perhaps at the level we need and require to boost prosperity, to boost employment levels, to boost entrepreneurial exploits in the country. That's our challenge. That's us. You hear what I said? Chivago didn't say that's Mr. Davis's challenge, Prime Minister. Didn't say that's Mr. Kiedis's challenge, the Minister of Economic Affairs. Didn't say that that's Mr. Pindad's challenge. Said that's our challenge. That's the challenge that faces us. It is a mistake for us to think that that challenge can only be addressed by efforts of the government. It's a big mistake. Private sector of the Bahamas, if it doesn't in ways renew itself or engage itself in strategic alliances with international capital, if it does, if we do not do a good job of attracting new international capital in a diversity of areas in the economy, we will continue to be what we are, which is less than what we need or wish in order to be what we aspire to be. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
I ain't marched the car. The lady who run into me marched the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull out the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Too many debt bills? Overdue on loan payments? Improve your credit score and credit report with the Bahamas Credit Bureau. Shrink your debt payments with a debt consolidation loan and built-in savings that pays you 5% interest. Call 356-7764.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. Buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Want to reach your Grand Bahama customers? Then call Barefoot Marketing at 827-4578 or message them for ad rates via their Facebook page. Advertising opportunities now and due. Keep up with all the latest Grand Bahama News in the Nassau Guardian newspaper every Tuesday.
I'm not afraid. Take a stand, everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand, we'll walk this road together, through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone, holla if you feel like you've been down the same
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. So glad that you could join us here today. If you want to give us a call, you can call us on 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 4224796. That's 4224796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 4393043. We have a text here that says, as a daily listener, I can attest to the fact that you did say that about the Bahamas growth. Then this text says, does S&P report bring some discredit to Dr. Sands claim that the government is spending money like a drunken sailor? Because I believe I heard somewhere in the report it said about government reduced spending is one of the reasons for such a positive outlook. Actually, the report report never said government spending has anything to do with a positive outlook for itself. The only comments it makes about the positive outlook is related to the continuing strength of the tourism performance. That's what is driving the economic growth, not so much. It was not talking about government spending in that regard. In fact, if you look at the government's report itself, government's budget report, here's what the government says. The government said in 2021, 2022, expenditure was $3,042,000,000. That's what expenditure was. All right. And a part of 2022, part of it, not all of it, or one quarter of it, was the Davis administration. And then in 2023, the scenario, the government said its new forecast, while it budgeted $2,997,000,000 in reduced spending, which would have been about $45 million less than before, the government in fact revised its new forecast for expenditure to $3,073,000,000, which is then $30 million more than was spent in 2021-2022. So I don't know what Standard & Poor's would have been looking at in terms of what you're saying as to government reduced expenditure, because there's no evidence of that. And in fact, in its new budget, the one that we're in now, it is estimating to spend $3,085.6 million, which is just about $12 million more than last year. And it forecasts in the next year to spend more than that at $3.1 million. And so there's nothing that Standard & Poor's could have been looking at that would have said that there would be any reduced expenditure. So you would have to send me that statement, because I'm looking at the government's fiscal summary. This is produced by the government, and it is telling its story about expenditure. And the $3,073,000,000 being spent now is higher than every year of spending, even the pandemic years, prior to the government taking office. Okay, every year. Those are the numbers as reported by the government in its budget, documents that can be found online. We did the little seminar the other day, where we showed folks how to read this budget document so that you, like me, can go ahead and get the kind of information that you need so that you don't have to speculate about what the circumstances are. Standard & Poor's says that we expect real GDP growth next year to return to historic levels of 1.8%. That's very modest growth. 1.8%, very modest. Remember, down from 14% to 1.8%. You see that big drop? Not surprising, because the 14% was merely only a kind of unusual growth born of the fact that you had closed down the economy so much when you opened it back up. And this was inflation started that opening, and then it continued on in the Davis administration. You revved up activities, and so that growth was really a growth back to normal. Now that you're getting back to normal, you're going to get that 1.8% growth. And said per capita income will be in 2024, $36,456. You are a high per capita income voter. High per capita income, notwithstanding all your cries and about how bad things are. Just as a blunt instrument of the wellness off you are, it's a high number. I'm not, everybody doesn't make that. There are lots of people who don't make that, but the fact of the matter is, if you take all your income divided by your population, that is an indication of where your economic progress and prosperity is. So the pandemic, low historic growth, repeated natural disasters have weighed on this, on the country's economy in the past. This growth is expected for the next 2 to 3 years. Our assessment of sovereign's creditworthiness reflects the below average long-term growth performance and structural vulnerabilities compared to countries of similar development levels. You notice that they're calling 1.8% growth good growth, and that is true. You know, if you grew by 1.8% steadily for the next 100 years, your children, your economy will be huge, and your children will benefit if we don't squander in that period the gains of that growth. So 1.8% growth is nothing to be angry about, but just know it ain't unprecedented for the Bahamas. We had much better growth in the 90s. We were growing at 4%, 5%, 6%, 7%. I'm talking about back to back. We're not seeing those times in the sense. When we come back from our news break, so I want to say to you, you and I cannot control what the government does, what the politicians do. We can't control that. We can influence it. You know, some people in the background, some people in the foreground. We can, by our petitions, we can, by our demonstrations, we can, by our vocalizations, try to influence some things, but we can't control. But in light of the circumstances going forward, so if you are Bahamian listening to Z Live today, and you think, you go, okay, Shivago, so what does the next 3, 4, 5 years look like for me? Can I tell you, for the vast majority of you, vast majority, there is not much out there to say that your income prospects, your economic circumstances will be much different because of external factors over the next 3, 4 years than they are. Presses you, I'm sorry. But I want to talk to you about some things when we come back from the break that you are in control of and that you can do and I can do over the next 3 or 4 years that can impact upon our own situations. Maybe we're not going to get the help, the kind of help we might want from the external environment. By external, I mean not just foreign investors. I mean from local investors, from government programming and all that kind of stuff. I'm saying we're going to talk when we come back from the break about things that we can do, that we should be focused on over the next 3, 4, 5 years. And we're going to do this by age categories. So if you're 20 to 30 years, I'm going to talk about some things you might be interested to focus on. If you're 30 to 50 years, 31 to 50 years, I'm going to talk about some things you might be focused on. And if you're 51 plus, I'm going to talk about some things that you may want to be focused on, so that whatever is the case, you can make an effort to improve your financial economic circumstances going forward. Does that sound like a plan, or should I just shut the show down and see y'all next week? You notice I even didn't say Friday, but see y'all next week. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago, I'm your host. I'm so glad you could join us today. We are going to take a break for news, and then when we come back, we will continue our discussions. We'll be back after the news break.
Senior high school students, you could win a brand new iPad for the new school year. Enter the Plato Alpha Design Essay Competition. All you have to do is write a strong and convincing essay on the topic, What Does Going Digital Mean to You? For junior high students, your word limit is 1,000 words. For senior high students, your word limit is 1,500 words. To enter, email your essay along with your name, school, and grade level, as well as your parents' contact information to alpha@platoalpha.com by Friday, September 20th. Winners will be announced on Guardian Radio on September 29th. The winner for each category walks away with a brand new iPad. It's the Plato Alpha Design Essay Competition, powered by Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful, beautiful Thursday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, please feel free to call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. Fortunately for us, the next 3, 4, I would even say 5 years, barring some extraordinary event in the world, the Bahamas is going to see growth. It's going to see growth. Growth around in that 1%, 2%, it is possible we could even get to 3% range. I think we'll see positive growth in the economy for a few years yet. But that growth is not likely to meaningfully change a lot of people's individual income and financial broad circumstances. Not on its own, not to not take place. Some unemployed people will get jobs, and that's great and fantastic. Some people who are underemployed may get better employment opportunities, and that's great. You know, some businesses will fare better and so forth. So all of that is good news for the economy, barring any external event interrupting, disrupting the Bahamian economy, inclusive of any massive storms coming our way and what have you. And I'm not just talking about this year, I'm talking about into the next 3, 4 years. Everybody in the Bahamas is not in the same financial shape, okay? So before I say anything, let's start out with that. There's some people who ain't got no work, The whole house ain't got no work, and they are scrapping, scrunching. It is a challenge. It is a big challenge. There are other places where somebody's working, but got a minimum wage job, and just everybody else ain't working, and it's a challenge, huge challenge. Bills are backed up, things are rough. There are places where I'm working, but they both make minimum wage. They're just trying to make it work. And even then, it's a challenge. You've got people who are middle-income people making reasonably good money, but again, haven't borrowed for the mortgage, haven't borrowed for the car, haven't borrowed for the furniture, haven't borrowed, have gotten credit cards and kind of live a life of modest or middle-income material prosperity. Things are tight. You're getting paid, but you're living hand-to-mouth. You're living hand-to-mouth. The cash bill that ain't there, and so, you know, you're living hand-to-mouth. And then you have people who are making good income. They got good cash, loose cash. They can do what they want. Life is good. No problem. So different people find themselves in different circumstances. But the truth is that financial principles applied, some financial principles applied, can help anybody. Can help anybody, no matter your circumstances. And so if you are looking at and looking at your family, looking at the next several years, asking, you know, what is the best thing that I could do, we could do, try to assist ourselves. Let's talk about that for a little bit. Okay? Talk about that for a little bit. So if you're 20 to 30 years old, I call these the development years. Of course, all the years before are part of the preparation, a part of that development too, but these are development years for you. And if you're 20 to 30 years old, you should be focused on your professional development. What do I mean? You should be intensely focused on developing a set of skills that bring you the kind of income you say you want to make. As you say, if you say you want to make an income of $100,000 a year, even though being a teacher is a noble profession, absolutely noble, beautifully, wonderfully noble profession, balance, not being a teacher, that's reality. So if you want to earn $100,000 a year, but your professional development is in teaching, you're going to be challenged to get that. But if you say I could live well, I could do well on $47,000 a year, $37,000 a year. Teaching is a wonderful profession to accommodate that, if that's your passion. But in these years, you have to say to yourself, this is what I ask, this is what I say to my children. That's what how I do it to them. I say, listen, did you like the lifestyle that you grew up in? Say yes. Is that a lifestyle that you aspire to or better? Yeah. I said, well, here's the price tag for that lifestyle in terms of income per year. If that is what you desire to do, you have to put yourself on a trajectory to be able to earn that, which means you have to pick up skills somebody is willing to pay you that for, or you have to pick up an employee in a business that is capable of paying you that. Those are your options. Other than that, you go thief, rob, or do drugs or something like that, and that is not an option that is of any nobility, right? So that's the reality. So now you have to ask yourself, my kids, my children, based on what I'm doing now and the skill set I have, am I likely to get there? And if the answer is no, then get yourself on a professional development path into that direction. That's what you should, at 20, 30 years old, should be looking to do. Develop yourself professionally in a way that helps you acquire the level of value in the workplace or in the wider, broader society as an entrepreneur that can get you the income that you aspire toward so that you can live the life that you dream to live. That's the first thing, 20 to 30 years old. Second thing is, you have some financial planning. Meaning, you have to be able to say, you know what? I've been going out to this place and the next place, dining, whining with my friends and having a ball. And that's great. That's fantastic. You're working, you're making money. You could do that. Or maybe you ain't working and you ain't making money, or you ain't making as much money. You're still doing that. You need to check yourself. Because there's absolutely no way, no way on planet Earth that any of us are going to be able to have a reasonable financial situation, much less a wealthy financial situation, if we are spending everything we're earning and if we are not planning how we use the money we get. We're not going to do so. And so you need to be about the business of determining what your goals are, determining what your objectives and aims are, your aspirations are, price tagging those things, looking at your income, looking at your expenses, and trying to put the two of them together in a way that results in your spending less than your earnings, savings that you have, and doing something with them that can help you achieve the goals that you have. That's reality. If you're a parent, you can even, if your folks are younger than 20 years old, you can try to build that into them. If you have school age children, you can try to build that into them. You say, how? If you are one of those parents, like I am, who gives children monies for lunch, well, what I do is I give you money for lunch on Monday, the whole thing for the week. And we talk about some parameters around spending that money for your lunch. In that, if you use up all that money on Wednesday, don't carry no food of my house on Thursday and Friday, and don't look to me for no money on Thursday and Friday because you've used up all. Additionally, I give my son an allowance and said, listen, this is your allowance, but I expect that you will save a portion of this allowance that will be used by you at the end of the year for whatever it is you want to do. So I'm trying to build in, not with any heavy rigor, but simple underlying, to teach financial planning. But if you're 20, 30 years old, you have to be about that business. Your finances, some of us learned this. When we were younger, we did not have a plan. We just were, if we were making it, and if we felt like going on vacation, we went. If we felt like going out, we went. If we felt like doing this, we knew maybe we wanted to have a house one day or have this one day. But we weren't really planning around that. You have a chance to do that, to do a better job at it than we did. And so if you're 20 to 30 years old, you want to be about professional development, financial planning. And then thirdly, you want to be about income earning. When you're a young man, you should go at it hard. You want to go at it hard. My daughter just graduated university in the United States. So they have that 1 year period to work. That child is working two jobs. She texts me. She said, Daddy, I'm on my way to my next job. I said, okay. And she's done, which is normally in the night. Daddy, I'm on my way home. I'm home. And she's doing it, boy. She's making it happen. And that's what you want to do at this point in time. Don't get caught up. You know, if you have opportunities to earn at a job in the day, maybe do something in the night, have a part-time gig or something that your work doesn't conflict with, go ahead. Earn, save, invest. And invest aggressively. Because you can invest aggressively because you are, generally speaking, you have a longer time horizon, even so that if you lose an investment, you could recover quick. You have a longer time to recover. You don't have as many obligations might be impacted if your investment didn't work out. And you're going to invest what you can afford to lose. You're not going to invest what you can't afford to lose. And when you are younger, because you have less ties and obligations, you can afford to lose more. But so you can look at more aggressive investments. They might be more, truly better. And if you hit them and you hit them early, you'll begin to accumulate wealth earlier. So that's your focus. Those three things: professional development, financial planning, income earning, savings, and investment. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Hi, go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hello.
Hi. Yes, sir. We're listening to you.
Oh, sorry about that.
No problem.
A little bit off topic. On Monday, you had a doctor on the show about taking a test for the prostate.
Right.
And there, I think, four locations is going to be tested doing.
Yes.
Is it possible to get the address of where they're going to be?
Absolutely. I'll give them right now, as a matter of fact, before I go to my next segment. So no problem. I'll give them to you right now.
All right. Thank you so much.
You're quite welcome, my friend. And by the way, Doc told me, Dr. Robert, good response from people who went out to get the information. And we were very happy. We were very happy to hear that. And so more of you need to do that. And so I'm going to try and find that flyer for you so that you could be aware of where the clinics are today, this evening, and tomorrow. Anyway, I would definitely do that. I'll find it. I'm going to need a little bit more time to find it because it's not popping up real quick, but I would definitely I'll find it for you. Just text us, Rachel, as usual. You must most definitely won't earn $100,000 working no architect firm through in Nassau. It clearly won't happen. Boy, I tell you, Mr. Lang, I should have stayed in the USA. People don't pay well in Nassau. That's not true. Don't let nobody fool you with that. There are some people in Nassau making big dollars, who make in excess of $1 million a year. All right? And I talk about billions. So don't use your circumstances or that of people around you to judge what people are able to make in this country. Some people in this country make buku dollars. Buku dollars. Thank God for that. Right? Thank God for people who are making less than buku, but who are doing good anyhow. This text says the age of the payables need to be scrutinized. Yeah, that could be a part of assessing the government's financial circumstances. It says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. I have an off-topic question. Why was Iraq X forced to stop operations? I assumed it was a good thing for local business. Current news. Well, I'm sorry, you missed the show yesterday, so I would invite you to go and listen to the show yesterday so you can catch up, because I can't go over that just now, having taken up a new topic. All right, so 20 to 30 year olds, is that helpful? Was that helpful for any of the 20 to 30 year olds? Let me know, because when we're done, we're going to come back to 30 to 50 year olds when we come back. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
Take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. Storm, whatever weather, cold or warm, just let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you can't
complain.
Wherever you are in the world, Cleveland Clinic's world-class care is here for you. From Ohio to Florida to London, Cleveland Clinic treats thousands of patients every year, ranked number 2 in the world by Newsweek. You can trust our caregivers to enhance your experience across each step of your treatment journey. Care in the world. Learn more at clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
Struggling to repay your loan? Let us help you get back on track with payment terms that suits your financial situation and improve your credit score and credit report with the Bahamas Credit Bureau. Inquire about our restructured loans today. Call us at 356-7764.
Everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this way.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful noon. If you want to give us a call on the show, the numbers to do so are as follows: 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316 or 325-4259. That's 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. We're talking about things that we can do at various ages to try and ensure that whatever happens going forward, that we can be in a better financial situation. I'm not saying a perfect one. I'm not saying a grand one. I'm not saying, a hugely different one than the one you're in, but it certainly can be better. We are prepared to do some things to get there. And so we talked about what those 20 to 30-year-olds need to do. Now, if you are 20 to 30 years old and you have aspirations to get into politics, I would certainly not discourage you. When I went into politics for the first time, I was 29 years old. I would only say this, though. If you get into politics and you're young, you better have a financial plan, right? And so that's whether you get in and are a member of parliament only, or you get in and a member of parliament and a cabinet minister. You need a financial plan. If you're not independently wealthy and don't have a financial plan, rule with politics. You hear me? If you are young, you are not independently wealthy, do not fool with politics if you don't have a financial plan. You better have a plan, a way to use the limited money. I mean, if for some people, it may be good income to have a cabinet minister's post and a member of parliament's post or senator's post, because that'll give you around $93,000 a year. That's okay for some people to live on, especially if they have a plan and use the money wisely and don't get caught up. They may be able to fare okay. For other people, that could be a license to get yourself in all kinds of problems. And I'm not talking about for corruption problems. I mean, just financial problems because of the expenses and all the kind of stuff that you do. So be careful with that, 20 to 30-year-olds. All right. So before I go on to the 30 to 50-year-olds, let me say prostate screening clinics. Guys, take your pen and pencils and pens, a piece of paper. So tonight, Flamingo Gardens Clinic will be having the prostate screening. That's Flamingo Gardens Clinic tonight. Okay, remember, it's 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock. I think they start registering at by earliest 4 o'clock. So that's Flamingo Gardens Clinic. And then on the 26th, that's next week, Tuesday, I believe. That's next week. The 26th is South Beach Clinic. So you want to make yourself available for that. And then on the 28th is Fleming Street Clinic. Okay? Fleming Street Clinic. We have some text here. Let me read for you. This text, Mr. Lang, please advise our people that not only do some Bahamians make great income, but in the U.S. and Canada, a great amount of your salary goes to taxes. That is true. That is true. That is true. Which is not quite the case here, except you pay them indirectly. Say 20 to 30-year-olds do not listen to radio. Really? Well, you should tell the 20 to 30-year-olds who talk to me and tell me that they have listened to the show that they don't listen to radio. So maybe that's a different group. So getting in government is a financial plan nowadays. So politics is only for the rich. Wow. No, politics, not at all. Politics is not only for the rich at all. You see, some of y'all need to learn to listen. I said, if you don't have a financial plan, don't go into politics if you're young. So that's the same thing for almost every area of life, right? But in politics, is it especially a problem because you are not guaranteed to have that job 5 years later. You're not. So if you go in there, spend up all your money and get fired, gotta go and try and make it. And guess what? Now you have an FNMP, LPCOI label on you. All right? I am not joking. I am being dead serious. Some of y'all want to joke. I'm being serious. So if it's 2, 3, 4, 5 young people listening, God bless y'all. You can take the advice or you can don't take it. That's up to you. All right. So 30 to 50-year-olds, what are you focused on? 31 to 50-year-olds. Well, productivity and performance first. You got a job. You got a business. Perform. Produce. Submit to excellence. Try and get it done. Stand out. Demonstrate value. Go and do and do and make sure people see, man, listen, I am making your situation better off. I am making this institution better. I'm making your organization better off. I'm showing up on time. I'm showing up before time. And I'm putting hours in. I'm goofing off. I'm slacking off. And I'm putting in the work. I'm producing value. I'm producing results. The customers love me. The colleagues and what have you are working with me. They ain't gonna love me, but they're working with me because we are trying to get it done. That's what you want to be about. Because that demonstration of your value, that demonstration of your performance, that demonstration of your ability to produce results is going to get you noticed. And it's going to bring you oceans, maybe many a times, many not. I'm going to say, oh, no, Mr. Lang, not in trouble. Listen, I'm saying in general. In many other places, it gets people advancement. In many other spaces, right? So put in that, be focused on productivity. Be focused on performance. If you can't and deliver on that performance, ask yourself, what do I need more of? Do I need to be a better communicator? Do I need to be a better organized person? Do I need to know time management better? Do I need to know project management? Do I need to have better people skills? Do I need to know teamwork? What is it that I have to do to get myself to perform optimally? That's what you should be focused on. That's one of the things, 30 to 50-year-olds. Second, you want to be about the business of cash flow management, right? Manage your cash. Cash is king. You want to make sure you have cash. Like, you want to make sure all your cash is not flowing out compared to what's coming in, or more is flowing out than compared to what's coming in. Sometimes there are things that happen in our lives that makes that unavoidable. That happens. Things happen. You know, sickness, job loss, business failure. That happens. But to the extent that you cash, because when those things happen, it'll put you in a better situation to cope, to deal with, adapt with to the circumstance. But cash management is a principle you have to be focused on at 30 to 50 years old, because you're trying to build up and accumulate savings and invest those for the long haul, because you will be now looking in the direction of what we call, some people call the waning years of your work life. Let's put it like that, right? So that's the second thing. The third thing you want to be focused on is savings and investment. But now you're probably going to take a more moderate set of risk, you know? So you're not the little youngster who can afford to lose everything, because now you're building your family and you got some obligations, and so you got to be careful. But you want to be able to have a modest investment plan. And again, you don't have to be investing yourself, because there are people who are out there who have expertise that can assist in your doing so. They sponsor the show, RF, as an example. They are associated with the Guardian grouping in the C-files of this world. And so they have expertise in investment brokerage, and they can assist, and they are willing to assist, and they are helpful. They even give advice in financial planning. So you could go to look at them. RF is on the show. RF advertises quite regularly the fact of those things that they do. So you might want to look in that direction. So savings and investing. So you add productivity and performance, cash flow management, savings and investment, with investing with moderate risk. Of course, the brokers, the people who are helping you plan your investment strategy, will sit down with you, look at your goals and objectives, look at your investment, your risk tolerance, your risk appetite, so that they get a risk profile for you, and then try to structure an investment strategy that fits into all of those features of your life. And then you want to be focused on debt reduction. Right? You want to be focused on either proper debt management, so that you don't mount your debt too much, made that mistake, and you have, it makes you work much harder, right? Makes you work much harder. Sometimes you end up in a big hole, and you end up in a financial circumstance that really where you've given up things, or you got to recoup things. So you got to be careful, debt management and debt reduction, because as you go into your later life, you don't want to have heavy debt obligations over your head. And because if you do, you better pray and hope that you have big income to support it, right? And so those are the four areas that people in that category want to be focused on: productivity and performance in the workplace or in your business house, cash flow management, so that you are building up cash reserves, you're building up cash you can use for savings and investing. You want to save and invest and look to do so with some moderation and risk, because of your getting into your older age, and then manage in such a way that you don't have any or heavy overhang, or if you have debt that you've accumulated over time, you're in a serious debt reduction program. This text says to suggest going into politics from a financial point of view is questionable advice. Well, who suggested that? Tell me, please, who suggested that someone should go into politics from a financial point of view? Really? Who said that? I would never give anybody that suggestion. But people do have an interest in getting in politics. And my advice to them is, don't do it if you don't have a financial plan. That's my advice. So some of you need to learn to listen really honestly, because when you text me back, I wonder what you're listening to. It's really, it's troublesome sometimes. I had a guy say something to me one day in the midst of a group of people said what I said. And when I was done, and he admitted, no, you didn't say it like that. I'm like, what are we listening to? You know, I would never give anybody advice to go into politics as a matter of financial objective. Okay, so you could put that nonsense out of your head. I don't know where you got that from. This text in an avid radio talk show listener since the age of 23, and I just turned 30 in April. There are many young persons that listen to the radio to stay informed. Thank you, Mr. Lang, for today's topic. This has really been a help to me as I strive to better my finances. Thank you very much. See, what I tell you, you can't listen to some of y'all. You got it. You think the world you live in is the only world. And it ain't true. Lots of people are doing lots of different things than we think, okay? So we covered the 20 to 30 arrows, so 30 to 50 arrows. By no means am I suggesting these are extensive guidelines and so forth, but I think that the basic principles exist in them to be helpful to some folks. And that's the aim and objective. All right, when we come back from the break, then we're going to take up the 50-year-old and older. That's me. That's me and other people who graduated from school in 1984 and 83 and 82 and 81 and 80 and 79 and so forth and so forth and so forth. When we come back from the break, we're going to take up our recommendations for what you want to be focused upon over the next few years. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Being an investor has its benefits, like the margin loan facility at RF. I can use my government bonds, company shares, and other investments to access cash when I need it, at a low interest rate of 7.5%, flexible repayment terms, and a 48-hour approval time. I can easily get the cash I need for travel, home renovations, or to purchase additional shares. This is just one of the ways RF keeps my money working for me. Learn more about the RF margin loan at RF.
He just show me Bulla Boy in his phone.
What you mean? He take picture of that good for nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bulla hair. You say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police won't find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and it'll go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas so you can call and nobody knows it's you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried it the other day, and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick around the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid. Take a stand, everybody, everybody. Come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, send you know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Gentlemen, to Z Live, I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. If you want to call us in these last remaining moments, you can call us on 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796, 422-4796, or 4393-0433. So, you know, when you are our age, you are now in a situation with much more obligations, more time has passed. You know, you're not as energetic as you used to be. You still got good faculty and facility in your mind, many of us. And you still have the prospect of doing bigger and better things. But, you know, you're starting to kind of feel time and its weight on your shoulders and your legs and, you know, and you want to chill a little more and you want to be able to experience a little bit more life, the children, you know, either finish with college or finishing college. Maybe some of us who may have had one come a little later than the others, every day, just finishing high school, but you got a lot on your plate and you got a lot to consider. So you're 50 plus, what are you focused on? Well, you're focused on saving that cash, building up that cash and securing it, because you need that, because you're not going to probably be working later on. And most people don't have pension plans, and to rely on national insurance may be the only savings plan that they could, a structured saving plan that they could rely on outside of their own. And so you've got to be focused on putting up cash. Don't mind them children calling on you for this and calling on you for that. Yes, you might try to fulfill your obligation to them in terms of their education, but outside of that, watch that cash, put that cash away, because time starts to wear on us. Sometimes our health is challenged, and like, you need some cash. You need some cash. You got to think about that cash being available to take care of yourself, because as much as you might say you love these children and they love you, boy, some of them ain't faithful. They may not be there. So you got to be focused, you and your spouse, or if you by yourself, be focused on putting some cash away. Okay, maybe you ain't have big cash put away, but if you have some cash put away, that's better than having none. Okay? So where are you putting $10 away or $25 away at a time? Put that cash away, right? If you have the opportunity to invest in something that could bring you a return of cash later on, for some people that's apartments or some passive business or something like that, go right ahead. But mind that cash. Fill up that cash. The older you get these days is cash. Don't try it. Don't chase credit now. When you're 50 plus years old, don't be chasing credit. Chase cash. You want to talk about credit worthiness? You need cash worthiness. You want credit worthiness in case something happens and you need an emergency to call upon it. But chase cash. Cash worthiness is what you want to be looking at in your 50s, right? And then because of course, now you start looking at retirement. And I'm serious. It's not a question of money and retirement alone. And again, retirement doesn't have to mean you stop working, right? I mean, what retirement means is you work the way you want now. That's really what it means. Whether that means doing something that earns you a little income or not doing something that earns you a little income, you're just waking up and you're living life, doing life the way you want. You're not being dictated by the obligation I have to show up at a job, the obligation I have to show up at some business I own, or something like that. You're now looking for more flexibility and to be able to ease yourself into enjoying more the existence that you have. And so that's your retirement. So you think about it and think about the things you would want to do, want to be about. To think about the kind of health scenario you would like to be in when that time happens and what needs to happen for you to be able to do that. You want to think about what your home life is like, what your recreation life is like, the kind of village you want around you, the kind of people you want, you know, as a part of your community. Who are the people you want to be on a regular basis with? Because companionship in those times are important to your health and healing and happiness. So you want to think about if you're going to need to, you need to think about income supplementation. Like if I need to, because, you know, Jack, when I look at national insurance, somebody might say, when I look at what I put away, you know, okay, so maybe my mortgage is paid off and all the other loans I have are paid off, but I still gonna have an electricity bill. I'm still going to have a food bill. I still got a water bill. You know what I mean? I may need to deal with some medications and stuff like that and what have you. How much is that going to cost me on a monthly basis? And so if you calculate that, you say, well, that can cost me $2,400, $1,800. But I only have right now, I could count on $1,500. So I'm short some money. So what am I going to do in terms of that? How am I going to supplement my income that way? Is there anything that I could do, recreationally speaking, that I could sell, any service that I could render, recreationally speaking, not no structured 9-to-5 job that is going to make me feel like I'm back at work again. What am I going to do? You want to think about them things before they come on, they come up against you, you know? So that's 50 plus, that's us. That's where we want to be thinking about and along those lines, all right? So I hope that's helpful. I hope it's helpful. And if you didn't catch all of it, you can, when the show gets mounted, you can go ahead and listen to the show again. And add to it. There's lots of information out there on the internet that can be used as a guide for these purposes. All of us should be in the listen, man. Now, I know how it go. I know how it is. Like life, you work, you go home, and you're tired, and you just want to rest, watch some TV and entertain yourself. And that's fine. I love to do it. I love to do that. I love to just sit. Sometimes I just want to sit down on my couch in my den, what I call my man cave, which is where I would spend most of my time if I'm home. I spend it right in my man cave, either working or watching something. So I love to do that. But I spend a lot of time when I have it available. I watch videos, YouTube videos of learning things on my health, learning things about finances and economics, learning things about history. And so we want to, you want to take some time to learn some things that are useful to getting you where it is that you think you want to be. In life, we have to be intentional. You have to be intentional. We have to be about the business of trying to live the life we want. You know, I was thinking the other day, I don't know if you ever do this, but, you know, sometimes when I'm trying to think about life in a certain way, I feel a resistance from my own mind. What is that resistance? It's we develop these patterns of thinking, right? We do over time. We develop these patterns of thinking, right? That's the way we think. And so when you try to get your mind to think a different way, it resists. And so I have learned how to fight through that and break my mind from that rigorous rigidity of thinking. I have found a way to do that. But I was thinking the other day that some of the stress that we feel about life is that it's born about because we are trying to bend the world to our liking. And that's not possible. There's too many things in the world we don't control. Other people, including our spouses, our children, our family, our friends, our neighborhood, our neighbors, we cannot control them. Our workplace, we can't. We can influence them maybe sometimes, but we're not in control of that. So, but we're trying to shape the world to our liking. And so what happens is, your mind wants the world to be this way. And it is a different way. You know what that happens when those two things come together? When the world is not the way you want? Frustration. That's what happens. You get frustrated. So if you've ever been frustrated, it is merely an indication that there is a way you want the world to be that it is not. And you refuse to accept and acknowledge that it is not, and that maybe you can't do anything about it at the moment. So you're frustrated, right? And so what we have to learn is to let the world be as it will be, and we control what we can. And the one thing that we can work to control is how we think about the world and react and respond to its happenings. What we do in the world, and to be satisfied and be satisfied with that, and to be satisfied with that. That's really the search. When I wake up in the morning, I try to feel how I feel. I try to reflect on how I feel. Am I feeling anxious? Am I feeling angry? Am I feeling irritated? Am I feeling sad? Am I feeling happy? Am I feeling relaxed? Am I feeling joyous? Am I feeling sad? I try and assess what's going on inside. Because all of those things, depending on how I feel, point to some underlying something my brain is dealing with. And then now, because I want my environment to be a certain way, inside of me to be paradise. That's what I strive to achieve. I strive to achieve it by the conversation I have with myself, by the way I see the world. And sometimes I give my brain a break. A real break. You know what I mean? I'm saying, I don't want to think about anything, man. I don't want to take anything any more seriously anymore today. I just said give my brain a break. And sometimes I go for a walk, and I go for a walk. I'm not going for an exercise walk. I'm not going for any walk where I'm walking around judging anything. I just go for a walk, and I'm looking at birds. I'm looking at the sky, I'm looking at the trees, and I'm just trying to be right there, right then, and get my brain a break. So whatever the outcome of the next year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, whatever that outcome is, we can do some by ourselves. And if it's only a little bit you can do, do a little bit. If it's only a little bit more you could do, do a little bit more. But work on your own circumstances so you're not frustrated by the fact that others are not doing so. You've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I trust you have a great evening. God bless you. Stay tuned. East Fair's Life. We'll be back. Take care. I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been can't down the same road.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9.